Deutschlandfunk Interview.
Thank you, Mr. Stoltenberg, for the time and the opportunity to talk to you here at NATO headquarters. The 32nd flag of the alliance has been raised. For Sweden, it is truly an end of an era. 200 years of neutrality come to an end. Do you think neutrality is outdated and even dangerous given the current circumstances?
So first of all, I think that it's up to each and every nation of the world to decide whether they want to belong to alliance or not. It's a sovereign, independent decision. I will respect that, whatever the decision is. I think that what we have seen in Europe is that it is more difficult to be a neutral country in between a more and more aggressive Russia and NATO. So therefore, we have seen that more and more European countries, which are not members of NATO, have actually applied for membership, and more of them also have become NATO allies. Just in my tenure, we had North Macedonia, Montenegro, Finland, and now Sweden.
Speaking of neutrality, it seems even the Pope is taking sides. He's getting harsh criticism for his remarks, advising Ukraine to wave the white flag as the right thing to do. Did the Pope cross a line here?
Surrender is not peace. Surrender will, for Ukraine, mean occupation. This war can end in three ways. President Putin, who started the war, can end the war today. Ukraine can stop defending themselves. That will not be peace, but that will be surrender. The third way to end this war is to have a negotiated solution. But if we want that negotiated solution to be a solution where Ukraine prevails as a sovereign, independent nation, then we need to make clear for President Putin that he will not achieve what he wants on the battlefield, and he has to sit down and negotiate a lasting peace with Ukraine. And therefore, the way to achieve a peaceful negotiated solution is to provide Ukraine with military support.
John Secretary, the flags in front of the NATO headquarters, as far as I know, are standing in alphabetical order. So Sweden's now next to Turkey, and on the other side of Turkey will be the place of Ukraine. You yourself said today it's only a question of when. So I put that question to you. When?
I cannot tell you exactly when Ukraine will become a member, but I'm saying that NATO allies are working hard to ensure that it can happen as soon as possible. What we do know is that Ukraine is now closer to membership than ever before.
But if Ukrainian membership is impossible as long as the war goes on, does Russia hold the keys, right or wrong?
We cannot accept that Russia decides on NATO membership, because then we are violating a fundamental principle, and that is that every nation has the right to choose its own path.
So far, Ukraine is holding on, barely so, some would add. Never underestimate Russia. You said it yourself, repeatedly. They learn to exploit the loopholes in the sanctions regimes. They have allies that deliver ammunition and drones. Does the West still underestimate Russia?
We must not underestimate Russia, and that has been my constant message, because we have seen how much they are willing to pay. But the answer is, of course, that we need to do more, because if President Putin wins in Ukraine, it will demonstrate that violating international law, invading another country, pays off.
Speaking of doing more, Germany is arguing with respect to the Taurus long-range weapons. You praised again today the scope of German support for Ukraine. Do you understand the reasoning behind the Chancellor's decision to hold back on Taurus?
Germany is the European NATO ally that is providing the most military support to Ukraine. I will commend Germany for the substance, the magnitude of the military support, advanced Leopard battle tanks, air defense systems.
I know, but that was not, the time is running out, not the question. I wonder whether you understand arguments Olaf Scholz put forward against
it. But I will not go into specific discussions in specific NATO allies on exactly what kind of systems they should provide. I welcome that the United Kingdom has provided long-range cruise missiles, Storm Shadow, and France, similar system, Scalp. And also that many allies are now providing F-16s So I welcome that, but I will not go into giving specific advice to Berlin.
The alliance gathers for an anniversary summit in July in Washington. Donald Trump is openly challenging Article 5, the core of the alliance. Europeans have invested a lot more in the last years, but is NATO prepared for a second Trump presidency?
NATO is an alliance of 32 democracies, and over the years, different political leaders have been elected. There have always been differences among allies from both sides of the Atlantic. But I expect the United States to remain a committed NATO ally, because a strong NATO is not only good for Europe, it's also good for the United States. They have something Russia and China doesn't have at all, and that is 31 friends and allies, representing 50% of the world's military and economic might. And also we need to take note of that the criticism has been not against NATO, but it has been against NATO allies not spending enough on NATO. And this has now completely changed. Germany, many other NATO allies are now spending 2% on GDP on defense. So this is a total different situation than just a few years ago.
Last quick question. You're almost at the end of your time in office after 10 years. Any advice for your successor?
The most important thing is to keep the alliance together. It has been a privilege to serve as Secretary General of NATO at the momentous time for our alliance, with four new NATO allies, and today Sweden, with a full-fledged war in Europe, but also NATO allies demonstrating that we stand together, both in providing support to Ukraine, military support to Ukraine, but also in ensuring that the war against Ukraine doesn't escalate into full-scale war between Russia and NATO.
Secretary General, many thanks for the interview.
Thanks so much for having me.